I've been the director of the Central Intelligence Agency, director of the National Security Agency, a career military officer, a career intelligence officer. I've looked at this play from every possible angle. I've looked at every stitch of documentary evidence. And in my professional judgment, that play, The Immaculate Reception, happened just the way it was called. There are some people out there who are just far too conspiratorial.
Come on, what else are they gonna say? There was a vendetta against the Raiders. Here's what the truth and the facts of the matter are. There are three infractions that were never called, which leads to a conspiracy theory.
The story that needs to be unraveled, if it ever can be, is the story from Frenchie Fuqua. Did it touch him or didn't it touch him? And only he knows.
The question, Frenchie, did you touch the ball? Maybe, maybe not.
He was knocked into the ball. Jack Tatum hit him from behind into the ball.
I saw it with my own eyes. I saw Jack Tatum hit Fuqua right in the back. I saw the whiplash. I definitely hit Fuqua.
That, I think, has been proven to be wrong. Films clearly show that the ball was off of Tatum's body, not off of Frenchie's.
Did Jack Tatum hit the ball? Did he hit the ball at all? And it clearly showed that he did not. He hit Frenchie's shoulder pad and bounced off of that.
If you look at the tape, Frenchie's like this. Frenchie's hands went out like this to catch the ball. There's no way with his hands stretched out, it didn't hit your hands and bounce back 20 feet or whatever it did.
Pull out the micrometer as to, you know, whose hand or shoulder pad or helmet touched it. It's impossible to do. I would turn it on its head. When you look at it again and again, in no way do those films give conclusive evidence that Fuqua was the only one to touch the ball. If Tatum hits it before or after Frenchie does, it's good.
Let's be honest. We never see the bottom tip of the ball. We never see the bottom half of the ball and whether or not it touches the turf. That seems to be the most legitimate conspiracy theory objection. And I asked Franco about it. Franco's been asked about it a lot. And Franco doesn't give a straight answer.
Did the ball hit the ground before you plucked it out of the air?
I can't say. From the time Bradshaw threw the ball, it was like I lost all sense of consciousness. Before I knew it, I'm up and running. Before that, everything is just a blur.
Franco's a good ball player, don't get me wrong. I'm not knocking him. He knew what had happened. You know, he knew he cut the ball off the ground.
I saw it from an angle, from across the field. The tip of the ball touched the ground. He trapped it.
More than likely, because Franco doesn't speak, he probably trapped it on the ground. Nobody will ever say, Frenchie won't say, and Franco won't say, and I understand it's one of the greatest plays in the history of the sport. As long as we all sit here and say, well, did they touch it, did they trap it, then that keeps it going.
No, I saw that. Franco made a great catch.
He got it in stride. You didn't see the effect of the ground on the ball, and the way Franco got it, it just seems as if it had been a continuous play.
Once Franco got in the end zone, then he started getting piled on.
Franco is being completely mobbed as the clock goes only 5 seconds left.
And then people started jumping out of the stands. In fact, one guy broke his leg jumping out of the stands. It was a total mob scene. I think, if I recall, you never actually see a touchdown sign. Humankind does not have the ability to reverse that kind of thing.
There is a very, very tough security situation here. Huge discussion going on down zone. Enraged fans, fearing that the touchdown might be disallowed, are out on the sidelines.
Oh, it was absolute mayhem. And given the absolute, I believe, fear that was in the hearts of the officials, I don't think they were going to change their decision.
I know for a fact that those officials knew that that play was not a legal play. I did hear one of the officials say, how much security do we have? They asked the question, how much security do we have? They talked a little bit longer. Head official goes out on the field, puts his hands up, touchdown.
There was no control. It was crazy what was going on. Swearingen had a problem.
Absolute pandemonium is raining. The fans are pouring out of the stands.
I think if he would have ever reversed that call, that man might have died. And all the other officials, too.
Sounds good. Not true. Our guys couldn't care less about that. No, absolutely not.
Look at Gerber frame 325. That'll tell you all you need to know. Look at McMakin's head. You can't see his head because it's around in my back. I was clipped. We totally got screwed. I was definite clip. Fred Swearing and his group, they had no clue what was going on. They were afraid to throw flags at that time in the game. If it wasn't for that clip, I think I make that play, and we have no immaculate reception.
No, it's always been clear in my memory that it was a clean block, the head and shoulders in front. That's why I call it the magnificent obstruction. I feel like, you know, that's a pretty good name for the block.
That was no immaculate obstruction. That was an immaculate clip.
I do think it's puzzling that he feels like it was a clip from behind. Well, if you look at Gerber frame 325, you can tell that my head and shoulders are plainly visible, you know, in front of Phil.
The conspiracy theories are troubling, and on some level, believable. But are they the most likely explanation for what occurred?
Occam's razor is a theory that suggests that more often than not, the simplest explanation for an event is probably the correct explanation. Very often we get very ornate trying to explain things, and more often than not, it's just what it is. It's just what it seems to be. I'll buy an Occam's razor on this one.